But I've maintained the attitude of Trinada Bhisini Chena, being humble more than the blade of grass, tolerant more than the tree. And this, he said, was the reason that he was able to progress in Krishna consciousness. And for his movement to expand. So this is, of course, one of the elements of surrender. One has to be humble. Prabhupada speaks of the materialistic advancement of civilization. It's the civilization of demons. The Pope calls it the culture of death, the Western civilization. I think Gandhi was asked once about, what do you think of Western civilization? He said, I think it's a good idea. So what goes under the name of civilization is really not civilization, but it's animal civilization. So as an aspiring transcendentalist, one should be acutely aware that we are moving about in a civilization that's not really civilized. If a civilized person, a truly civilized person, realizes that this is not the true place for a human being to live, it is in the spiritual world. And all denizens of the spiritual world, or all those who are aspirants of the spiritual world, have great compassion. They are feeling the pinch of material nature on everybody, in everybody's skin and everybody's back. And therefore they're working very hard to alleviate the suffering. Lord Chaitanya's principal purpose was to come here, was to alleviate the suffering and to drown everyone in love of Godhead. So this is a great legacy that we've inherited from Srila Prabhupada, that we should work hard for self-realization, understand that we're living in a world of names only, a civilization which is aiming at imperfection, and that our duty is to set things aright, is to bring that civilization to true civilization. So we'll stop there if you have any comments or questions. One thing Prabhupada mentions, it worked very hard, and people realize that they're getting old, that they can't recoup time past for any amount of money. It's one of Chanakya's shlokas also. Not one second can be regained. That's further explained in the Bhagavatam. That ayurharati vaipam sam ujanas panchayana, so that with every rising of the sun, with every setting of the sun, one loses one's valuable life. But if one is fixed in glorifying the name of the Lord, one is not affected by such rising and setting of the sun. Therefore, to read Srimad Bhagavatam gives us eternal life. You know, that sounds very Christian, but actually, it's what the soul is. The soul is eternal. And to concentrate on the soul and its relationship with Krishna, one, as Srila Prabhupada showed us, can work very hard in propagating Krishna consciousness, even up into old age, and not become dejected and think life is hopeless. So, any thoughts? That was a very basic verse. Yes, Balaram.
I had another, I read it in one of Sasarup's unpublished commentaries in the thing with Adhyaya Kapoor, and I sent him these really good in Hyderabad ones. And he says, so now you're a chemist, you have to give the formula for love of God? And Prabhupada said to reply, he says, yes, he says, but I have the formula, but I don't know how to mix it yet. So what is that? And then he told me that Trinada Bhisini Chena was.
It shows how important humility is. We heard Prabhupada on a tape once. He was interviewed on the radio, and people phoned in and they asked questions. So one lady, I heard this tape, was very challenging. She said, straight off, where is your so-called temple? He said, it's Nadashvari. Oh, that hippie area. How'd you get your money? Well, my disciples, they donate to the cause and give various things. And she went on and on like that. And so finally she said, oh, so I understand now, you're a freeloader. You know what a freeloader is? It's like a bum. And Prabhupada, yeah, I didn't see it, but I heard the state, he just said, yes. Kind of, yes. Very proud that he was advertising nothing. And all of a sudden she just stopped. And the person who was in charge of the station that was doing the interview said, oh, I'm going to punch her out. And then he was going to stop because he sided with Prabhupada that yes, of course, he was accepting so many things. But Prabhupada was never, you could tell by his tone of voice, that he was never agitated. Even though in the very start, this lady started out in a very challenging, very inimical tone of voice, and she was that way through the whole thing, and Prabhupada was never once flustered or in any way showed anything other than absolute humility. And at the end, when she called him a bad name, he just accepted it so graciously that it took all the venomous sound of her and mentality, it just took it all away, just as the humility was so powerful that it removed all of the vitriol, all the rancor that was accumulating in her, it seemed, and certainly in the people who were listening. So that formula works. Here he was, he wasn't working, he had a temple, he had lots of followers, he had all the things he needed to promote Krishna consciousness, and here was an envious person, and Prabhupada just completely disarmed him by his humility, because he deserved all those things.
Yeah. So it's easy to talk about it, but how do you do it?
Yeah, it's easy to talk about, very difficult to do, because it's one of the principles of surrender, and surrendering is not an easy thing to do. It's not easy to accept everything favorable and to reject everything favorable and to always feel protected by Krishna, always feel Krishna's mercy. These are very difficult things. It's a difficult process, but because we saw that Prabhupada had it, and because we're following what he asked us to do, we're engaged in that process of surrendering. And surrendering is not something that happens overnight. It's not an easy thing to do. It happens with the whole mind, the whole self. And it's a process. It's not a product. It's something that we have to do step by step, just like the journey of Krishna consciousness. It has to start somewhere, and every journey has to start with a step. So we begin, and we're praying. We're praying for the mercy of Krishna all the time, that we'll be able to attain that state. It's certainly a very elevated state that Prabhupada was on. But we're very fortunate to be able to understand what love of God is, and to let it rub off on us, and to learn from Srila Prabhupada, to develop gradually, that spontaneous sense of always remembering, always falling, of loving Krishna, actually. That's what it really means. When someone's in love, they're, what we use the word, infatuated. They make fools of themselves for their lover. But if one makes a fool of oneself for Krishna, one is actually not the loser. One becomes in love with Krishna. It's not foolish, but it's actually the perfect position. So we have to try, we just have to keep trying and executing all the different forms of devotional service that Karma Pravartana. We have so many mentors, like Rupa Goswami and the whole disciple succession, so many devotees to help us, and so many nice books, many great elevated souls whose lifestyles and decisions we can follow. We just have to begin. And even if we remain neophytes for a long time, if we try, we'll surely succeed. We just have to keep going. Bleak as it may sometimes seem. Prabhupada once said that Krishna consciousness, I heard this from Lokchandas, so I can't say I heard it firsthand, but he said that Krishna consciousness is a system of recreation. Singing, dancing, feasting, and glorifying God. So that's actually what goes on in the spiritual world. They're singing, they're dancing, feasting, whatever they do, they're very blissful. That's our aspiration. Sashi?
Alright, talking about humility, but we are also told as preachers we shouldn't talk about blasphemy to devotees and so how does that in that context?
Yeah, like Arjuna, he was being persuaded to become angry by Krishna, to execute his fighting dharma. In general, though, Prabhupada says that we are ahimsa, we're non-violent people, and that is one of that's one of the qualities of a Brahmin, is to be very, very peaceful, very tolerant, very clean, and that is the mood, actually, of a devotee. But because in a highly exceptional situation, Arjuna was to carry out his Swadharma, which was, not a very adorable thing. There has to be police force, there has to be military, there have to be people to protect, and in order to do that, they have to use force. So, and since anger is an integral part of the living entity, it's actually part of Krishna, because it comes from Krishna. Sometimes it has to manifest, and if it has to be, Krishna arranged so many things. He arranged for his own devotees to become demons so he could fight with them, because there's no fighting that actually goes on. It doesn't go on in the spiritual world. It only goes on in the material world. But if that, and it is described that anger is a product of becoming attached to material things and not getting our sense gratification satisfied. So generally, it's not recommended. It says in the Bhagavad Gita that it's not good. We fall down in the material pool. But if our occupation is one of protecting religious principles, and the holy name is blasphemed, then one can invoke the principle of anger to stop it. But in Kali Yuga, even that is not generally recommended, because in Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya came, and when he was going to perpetrate violence upon Jagai Madai, he was stopped by Nityananda Prabhu, and he convinced him that the real astra is the shastra, and that the mercy of the Lord is more important than the law of what is right and wrong. So in Kali Yuga, the Kazi, for example, was persuaded by Lord Chaitanya by friendly talks. Of course, he was afraid of him because he showed the great force of a 1 lakh strong of men, 100,000 men going out with their torches, and he was frightened. But actually, they had a very civil discussion. So, and that, of course, is a very holy place still, that place of the Kazi Chan. It's considered to be a tirtha, because Lord Chaitanya spoke the Shastra. So Lord Chaitanya's presence in Kali Yuga is that we engage in this process of preaching with humility and use the Shastra generally as our weapon. I mean, there have been instances where devotees have been attacked, and of course, there are six means recommended in the purport of Bhagavad Gita when one can engage in violence, especially in self-defense, and it has sometimes happened. But generally, a devotee has to learn to be very tolerant and give respect. The anger and the violence aspects are minimized, particularly in the Nityakali. Lord Chaitanya was the embodiment of the flood of love of God that would envelop everyone, even those who are very stone-hearted. There was one devotee, there's one of the servants of Satsang Maharaj was on Oxford Street, and he saw the devotees go by. And the very first thing he did was he kicked one of the devotees in the leg. But because he had an attraction for the holy name, he eventually became a very good devotee. So humility has its virtues, has its very strong place in the age of Kali. Some missions teach martial arts, and then those who are practicing martial arts, they become devotees. In part of Washington, D.C., they do that. They have martial arts instructors who are devotees, and then their students become devotees. They become, very humble by nature. But of course, if they're attacked or they have to protect devotees, then especially we're supposed to protect those who are incapable of being like little children. Women, Brahmins, cows can't protect themselves. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.